Our text is going to be from Psalm 89. Psalm 89, a Psalm of David. I'm going to begin with verse 15, but I'm going to read several verses, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Translation. But before I read several verses from Psalm 89, I want to read from a few different translations, a few different versions, just the first sentence. There in verse 15, the New King James, for instance, is going to say, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound." The English Standard Version says, "Blessed are the people who know the festal sound." And festal is the same word that gives us festive and festival and those. So it's a very joyful sound as well. The NIV takes a little different slant unless you look up the words. The NIV says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim God," but the word acclaim means to praise. So blessed are those who praise God. Another says, "Blessed are the people that know the shout of joy," and that probably misses our comfort zone. But in the Old Testament, that was certainly something that was very important. So we know the gist of what David is writing. Let me read now, beginning with verse 15. "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn," our ability to be strong, our power, "is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel." Brethren, what I would like for us to do tonight is to look at one of the most basic of all Bible truths. We're going to realize by the end of the lesson, and I'm only going to scratch the surface. We're going to realize by the end of the lesson that the concept of which we will be talking tonight goes throughout the Old Testament, but it goes throughout the New Testament as well. Therefore, we need to apply it to our lives. I think if we continually look to this concept, we will see ourselves in God's perspective. And brethren, that's the way we need to see ourselves. We need to see ourselves as God sees us, and this concept will help us. I believe it will help us be four square on God's truth. The lesson tonight is about praise and praising God. First of all, and this is really going to be my introduction, but my first point, I'm calling Christians have been called to praise God. And brethren, as far back as we can go through the Old Testament, there have been indications that God seeks his people's praise. And not only our praise, but also to glorify his name. Not only when we come to worship together, like we do now, but every day in society, we are to be a glory to God. We are to praise his name in our words and in our actions. And I'm not even saying we need to voice God in our sentences. We need to let our light shine. And people will see God's goodness in us, and that will certainly glorify his name. So we need to praise God. We need to glorify his name every day of our life, individually and corporately. the very next verse we read, and Jehoshaphat was afraid. This was a great multitude. No doubt he knew who it was. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and this is what he did. He set out to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea, throughout all the people. And when we continue reading there in the 20th chapter, we get down to verse 18, and the battle is just about to begin. The Ammonites and the Moabites and others are about to make war against Judah and against Jehoshaphat. Right before the battle begins, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem also bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites, and we read even others, stood up to praise the Lord with voices loud and strong. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, you and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God." Another translation shows trust. Trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when the king had consulted with the people, he anointed those who should sing to the Lord and praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And the very next verse, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord defeated their enemies. And they began to sing, worship, and praise God. Their enemies were defeated, and in the next verse we read, none of his enemies escaped. Praise and victory. Praise God and enjoy the victory. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to have the exact same victory that the children of Judah had that very day. But God wants us to make sure we don't get the cart before the horse. Praise victory. Praise God and receive the victory. Psalm 68, beginning with verse 1, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God." And then we read, "But let the righteous be glad." Let those of us who are righteous be glad, and let us rejoice before God. Yes, let us rejoice exceedingly, sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, by his name, Yah, Y-A-H, by his name, by God's name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Yah, Yah gives us Yahweh. Yahweh is the Lord. So when we say the word or sing the word, hallelujah. Halal means praise God. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, verse 15. "Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, let's move from Jehoshaphat as our example to Jonah. We're all familiar with Jonah, one of the more exciting stories in all of the Bible. I think it also is a perfect example of the concept of praise. First of all, I want to quote Jonah. Jonah says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to him." Now, was Jonah headed to Nineveh when he said that? Or was he returning? Was he headed to Nineveh, or was he going home? Or was he in the belly of that great fish? Yes, he was. While he was swallowed by that prepared fish, that great fish, you read the King James Version, Jesus soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to him into his holy temple. I will sacrifice to God with the voice of thanksgiving. Salvation is of the Lord. In the very next verse, so the Lord spoke to the fish. I'm going to use the word spit. And spit Jonah up on dry ground. New King James, and the King James uses a word I don't want to use. But it means spit. He's spitting up. Instead of fussing, pray. Instead of bemoaning the situation, praise God. And God spoke to the fish. And Jonah was spit up. He then did what God wanted him to do. And he was glorified. It didn't make him that happy, but he did what God wanted him to do. When he turned his attention away from himself and turned his attention to God, everything turned out. A New Testament example. Let's look at Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 were in Philippi. They had healed a young demonic possessed girl. Some of the citizens there of Philippi became angry. They complained to the magistrates. Paul and Silas were arrested. They were beaten with rods. I think many times we forget that. They were beaten with rods. Then they were thrown into prison. But beginning at verse 22, we know what they were doing. At midnight, they were bemoaning their situation. They were agonizing over their bruises and their... No, they weren't. They were singing praise to God. And all the other prisoners heard them praising God. And the Philippian jailer, after the earthquake, was about to kill himself. Paul said, "We're still here." And that very night, that man was baptized. Now, let's make application. Do you want, do I want the chains of society and the chains of distress removed from our lives? Yes. Do we want prison doors like we're in Philippi open for us? Yes. We need to follow the example of Paul and Silas. We need to praise God. You know, God has created humanity. Nothing is just by accident. Evolutionists don't know what they're talking. God has created us marvelous in his own eyes. He has created us so that our mind can control our actions. If we put our hand near a fire, we're going to pull our hand back before we even realize that it's hot. That's how God has created us. God has created us so that our mind is in control. But sometimes our mind doesn't want to be in control. We do things that we know we should not, and we're usually embarrassed. We ask God to forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us. But many times, we let our mind get our body out of control. What we need to do is get our body back under control. Or as Paul says, to buffet his body daily and bring it into subjection. Maybe I misspoke. Maybe we need to let God get our lives back into control. Because brethren, the Bible is right. We are weak creatures, flesh. We sin often even though we don't want to. And John says if we deny that, we're deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So sometimes our mind just doesn't want to do what we know our heart, our emotion, really wants to do. We need to let God regain. Let me reference two more passages of Scripture to call the lesson to a close. Isaiah 61, I'll read verse 1 and I'll read verse 3. Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God was upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to comfort those who mourn, to console